Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
And welcome one and all. It is episode 76 of the ATS Mix. That means I must be Johnny Anonymous.
And that makes me Dave Rabbit.
And I have to kind of apologize to everybody a little bit. I'm a little bit under the weather.
The Johninator is really being real conservative. He has walking pneumonia. And so he's really been a trooper in trying to get all the bits and parts done of the show before he goes into post-production mode. So, gee, Johnny, I'm so sorry, brother.
I don't know why they call it walking pneumonia, because it feels like it's running rampant through my head right now.
Yeah, well, you know, Bunny just got over pneumonia, so, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Boy, it really takes its toll on the old bod, man. I can't, be sympathetic enough to you.
Well, I certainly sympathize with her condition, too, and I hope that she continues on. Hey, in this show, we've got ourselves, of course, more international sightings.
Yeah, I love that with a new chick.
And we also call up one of our Mod Squad friends, Lombozo.
And we also are back on schedule with our boss, CEO Bill Irvin, the Skeptic Overlord, in his show, which is a great show. We talk about some great things.
And we also have member questions that we're going to have, Skeptic. But Springer's a no-show again.
Yeah, we decided we're going to do Springer only on special occasions, like every Easter, and let it go at that.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
I'm sure he will, too.
We're going to also have the conclusion of the Richard Dolan interview, part two, and what a great interview guest he's been.
What a wonderful guy he was to interview, Tim.
Absolutely.
So let's get to it.
Yeah, let's get to it.
All right.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From AboveTopSecret.com.
Oh, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
Reporting sightings from around Europe. This is Sam Willey of AlienationSam.com and UFO-radio.net. This week, a triangle spotted over London and Lancashire named British UFO hotspot. We begin in Mile End, London, England, and on March 28th, 2008, at 9 p.m, a witness was staring at the night sky just outside of his bedroom. The witness noted many airplanes flying around this local area and therefore is aware of common light configurations and the motion of mundane craft such as planes and helicopters. But what he saw at 9 p.m. was unlike anything he had seen before. The witness states the object had extremely bright lights, and when it was first spotted, it was moving at an extremely slow rate of speed. It suddenly came to a complete stop for almost 10 seconds, and then it circled horizontally extremely fast, then proceeded to leave the area. The witness reports that this event happened within 1 minute, and maintains that he has seen no plane or other object which can move like this triangular-shaped object did. The sighting was reported to UFO Info. Up to Lancashire, England now, and the area has recently been named a hotspot for UFO activity in Britain. Among the many reports, one of them detailed a sighting by a pub landlord who claimed he saw a squadron of fighter planes chasing a glowing white UFO over Pendle Woodland. Lancashire was ranked as Britain's third best UFO spotting location. Former head of the Ministry of Defence's UFO project, Nick Pope, has praised the recent hotspot listing, stating that those in search of UFO sightings should certainly head to Lancashire. This is Sam Willey reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
This is Tamriel from GodBoxCafe.com with sightings across Canada. It seems Quebec was the place to be for reports logged in this week. We had a witness in Longueuil on the evening of April 7th, sitting outside, gazing into an overcast sky, when all of a sudden a bright light materialized, flew in a straight line in their field of vision, and then dematerialized and disappeared. The event lasted several seconds, and as the object disappeared, a strong gust of wind was felt around the witness. It was not windy otherwise. The object was egg-shaped and had a light green tint to it. In the sky, it was approximately the size of a sunflower seed and appeared to be 500 meters away, much lower than the commercial planes that were seen flying above beforehand. On Boulevard La Salle by Lac Saint-Louis at 9:15 on April 9th, An eyewitness was outside on the top floor balcony looking up and saw a strange shape flying overhead. It was flying diagonally to the direction of the moving cloud cover that night. At first it seemed as if it actually materialized in front of the witness, and they got a feeling when it appeared that it had been there for a while but wasn't visible. When it did materialize, it looked like a deformation in the actual sky. When focusing on the object, it appeared to be a very large triangular prism moving from southwest to northeast in a perfectly straight line. The body seemed to be reflective, as though it was capable of mirroring the objects around it. The witness is an aircraft mechanic and pilot, and he reported that it flew at about the speed of transonic aircraft, but definitely not an aircraft of any known type. It appeared to be the size of about 3 football fields and may well have been flying as low as 1,000 feet. The entire sighting lasted about 1 minute. Moving east to St. John's, Newfoundland on April 7th after midnight, the observer was driving home from the store and noticed an object hovering above some houses. The object was a black triangle, 3 white lights on the bottom in each corner of the triangle, and a flashing red light that appeared to be on the back of the craft. At first, the witness assumed that it was a helicopter and then realized there was no sound. The object was estimated to be about 500 meters away and 100 meters high, and about 10 meters long on each side. As it moved about 1 kilometer south, it was slowly rotating as it was moving. It also appeared to be somewhat fading or becoming transparent at times. It suddenly moved east towards the Atlantic Ocean and was lost from view due to cloudy conditions. This is Tamriel from Godbox Cafe reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
These are the reported sightings over the United States. This is David C. In California, a viewer saw what he thought was a flock of birds approaching out of the northeast. As the objects grew larger in size, he realized they were glowing ovals and not birds at all. They glowed a soft multicolor as they passed silently overhead. The whole formation looked like a boomerang shape, but not exactly, as it was more extended on both ends so as to be in the shape of a sweetheart neckline. But the shape was not solid. It was made up of many glowing ovals, and it undulated a bit like a snake, or maybe more like a butterfly, only gently moving its wings. At arm's length, it was about the length of 2 pointer fingers when it was directly above the viewer. In Indiana, something very huge, dark, and moving slow from the north was observed heading south. The object was extremely quiet and the size of a football field long, disc-shaped, and as wide as 2 streets in a housing district. There were no lights at all. It was lower than the planes coming in, flying over the houses. It stayed on one precise course and headed due south. In Texas, an observer looked straight down the street into the sky and saw a very bright fireball in what appeared to be a fast-moving downward motion with the streak of a fiery tail behind it. The object appeared to be close to the earth and was a bright light green color. The color around the edges and in the tail were light yellow. From Monroe, Georgia, bright objects were seen in the sky. One of the objects was white in color and looked like a cigar. It appeared to be moving slowly across the sky towards the north while moving up and down and side to side. Another small object could be seen as well with a white light that would flash every now and then. This is David C. reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
From the AboveTopSecret.com mobile headquarters team, currently attempting a world record jump across the Grand Canyon.
Oops. The ATS Mod Squad, to serve and protect the AboveTopSecret.com community from idiots, spammers, one-line posters, and trolls. If you want to come to AboveTopSecret.com and make intelligent contributions to our community, no problem. If not, prepare thyself to be Mod Squatted. The ATS Mod Squad, a group of dedicated members with the toughest job in the world, keeping civility on our home. A Three Amigos production.
And caller, Mod Lombozo. All right, here we go.
Okay. He's in New York.
Who gives a f***?
I'm glad I'm recording.
Just believe it.
Hello, this is Jeff. Hello?
Who?
Hello?
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 I am the governor of California, and I very much would like to be a part of this show. And I do not take no for an answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I am so huge.
Okay. Now that we have you,
yes.
You know,
why don't we tell him what we'd like?
Okay. Yeah, I'm actually kind of scared now, okay?
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't be scared about this.
Are you sitting and thinking?
I'm always sitting and thinking.
Oh, what a great connection we have, too, with the Jeffinator. We had nothing to do today. We get you. So finally, we have one of our Mod Squad buddies on. What we wanted to find out is you obviously have a specialized area that you enjoy. What's going on in the areas that you like as far as, you know, what you find that's topical or hot topic or whatever?
Yeah, what's grabbed your attention here lately?
Yeah.
Now, are we talking ATS or BTS?
Either. Well, I don't give a bad sass. Whichever one you want to go to.
Well, I'm going to start with BTS then.
All right.
You know what? The one thing I'd really like to see is that a lot of the members actually understand BTS is as hot as it is. I was an ATS snob for quite a while, and I was drawn into BTS almost by accident because one of my threads was moved there. And when I went there, I realized just how amazing BTS is.
Yes.
I would say probably 80% of my posts are in BTS. You know, I read an awful lot of threads, but I don't post very much because I'm certainly not the smartest man in the world. And most of the members that post in ATS are a lot smarter than I am. And that goes with BTS as well. But when it goes to BTS, the thing that I truly love about it is I can go to certain areas that I don't have to worry about people, you know, complicating things. In BTS, there's things such as the jokes, pranks, and puns, which I post in all the time.
That's my favorite.
Chit-chat. Yeah, that is my favorite. It truly is. And that's where I do most of my thinking and stuff. When it comes to general chit-chat or rant, basically you can post just about anything you want off the top of your head. I really don't know what else to say other than that.
You know, we started the new BTS Mix Show with Spencer and Doc, and I'm just curious, what's the vibe over there in the BTS world? Does everybody seem to enjoy what they're doing with the show?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I happen to be one of those people. Yes, it's very well received. It's very well done. It's very well received. It is. It's an excellent show.
Jeff, let me ask you a question. What area, I mean, we all have certain areas that we're responsible for as a moderator. So what is your primary areas that you have to moderate?
A lot of it has to do with the breaking news, the alternative news, general chit-chat. And again, a lot of it has to do with BTS. And, you know, when it comes to moderating, I'm one of those people that I read everything that's in everything that I have, you know, a part of. However, I very, very rarely use any kind of mod duties, if you will. If I see that somebody's getting out of line or if I see that something is happening, rather than just go ahead and ban somebody, and I don't have the ability to ban, I can just post-ban, but what I would do is generally send a UTU and just try and make everything nice. You know, I realize that this is a membership, and when it becomes a membership, it's more than that. It's a friendship. And I consider every one of these people, every one of them, a family member, because ATS is a family. Whether you want to think that or not, that's the way I view it. I view them as family. And Dave and Johnny, as much as I don't like you, you're my family.
And we don't like you either, John.
I know.
Or Jeff, whatever the hell your name is.
I'm sorry, I had to go there.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yes, fine. You know, I mean, Johnny and I have a new thing called Spin the Moderator, and you know that just gets you another little slot up there on the Spin the Moderator wheel.
Nice. now, one of the things I would like to say, when it comes to BTS, I have actually two different personalities. I have one where I just, quote unquote, say I'm doing some thinking and I just do some stuff that's so off the wall it's crazy.
But do you ever jump inside of a rabbit suit and roll around the skating rink?
Well, I didn't roll around the skating rink, but this past Easter I did wear
right,
a rabbit suit. I wrestled with my son.
In the rabbit suit? You did that in a rabbit suit?
Yeah, I did.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. And the thing had to weigh about 20 pounds and like 100 degrees.
Well, you know what happened down at the Crawford Ranch, right?
I do not.
Yeah, the what's that guy? What's that vice president clown's name, John?
Cheney.
Cheney?
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, yeah, he killed the mask.
Oh, man. He killed,
yes, Dave is very informed. He's right on top of that.
I mean, in the long and the short of it, who gives a rat's ass what his name is? He does nothing except, you know, injure people with his shotgun. But he killed the Easter Bunny down at Crawford. Yeah, I have it on good authority.
Had something to do with a conflict of Jesus and the bunny.
Yeah.
This is the part of the show that we call dead air, folks.
Yeah. We're going to put our members on the hold.
One of the things I want to do, I do want to move forward with something. We talked about some of the things that I like, and I went and talked about, you know, I do the I'm thinking threads and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
One of the other things that I do, and again, I'm talking about BTS, I talk about my real-life experiences. One of my favorite threads that I started probably about a month ago is something called The Soup Kitchen. It's a real-life experience. I'm a member of Loaves and Fishes. And
A member of what?
Loaves and Fishes.
Oh, Loaves and Fishes. I thought you said load musicians. Okay, go ahead.
No, Loaves and Fishes.
Like loaves of bread and fishes, right?
Precisely.
Now, is this kind of like the Shoes of the Fisherman concept?
It's a soup kitchen. And
well, I know, but I mean, is it on that same mentality, though?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And I volunteer there, and I'm only there 2 days a week, but I'm there every week.
Wow.
You know, some of the experiences that I've had are amazing. I'm going to talk about a friend of mine that I made. His name is Willie, and he's 15 years old. You know, he has seen stuff that soldiers shouldn't see. He's been through the ringer. He came from a really bad, really bad place, and he doesn't know who his dad is. He doesn't have good parental care. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to go any further. And when I first met him, he was there mouthing off to me. And, you know, basically, he's tall, he's handsome, he holds his chin up, he demands respect, he has his hands across his chest.
Right.
And a lot of people would probably have just said, get out of my face. Well, over the course of several weeks, I got to get to know this boy. He's probably one of the best human beings I've ever met. He's strong, he's smart, he's incredibly funny, and he's a great coworker. He now works a couple stations down from me at the soup kitchen. One of the proudest things that ever happened to me in my life, and trust me, I've been through a lot of shit, but one of the proudest things is he came up to me and said, yo, dog, I'm making you an honorary brother, but if you ever let anybody see you dance, you're on your own. The Soup Kitchen is one of those experiences, and I write about it. And if you want to go see it on BTS, it's right there on BTS. It's called The Soup Kitchen. Stuff like that. I write about my experiences where I cooked a turkey dinner for Thanksgiving, where I cooked a ham dinner for Easter. And it's all just real-life experiences.
You know, I got to interrupt you here. I got to interrupt you here, Jeff, but, you know, because we're running kind of short of time. But I've got to say something, because for whatever it's worth, and of course, you know, Johnny's entitled to his opinion, but from whatever it's worth for me, you know, I'm very proud of you, Jeff.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Good for you, man. Keep it up.
Okay. Well, I guess we're done with you.
Gee, thanks, guys.
Yeah. Hey, we're looking at the clock, babe. You know, I mean, we've done all we can do with you, Jeff. So, you know, this will be
well,
up on
Well, that's not entirely true.
Well, no. But in this time frame. But just to let you know that, you know, we've slotted your part for this show in Christmas 2009. So...
It's the Christmas special with Mozo.
We're trying to can as many shows as we possibly
That's
can.
Right. Forgive him, Jesus.
In the name of the...
I don't know who Jesus is, but
right.
You had to make me part of your show.
All right, Jeff. Well, listen, brother, we always appreciate talking to you. Next time, answer your damn phone, will you?
I did answer my phone.
Yeah, right, sure. Yeah, the second time when you were sitting there sucking up and sending us 1,000 UTUs, put me on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, all right. All right, we love you.
Love you back, man.
All right, man, take care.
Thanks, Jeff.
Right,
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
And thanks so much for sticking with us. It is the one and only Skeptic Overlord. Hi, Bill. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing apparently better than you are. So I count my blessings in that regard.
We have a sick little Johnny with us today.
A sick little Johnny.
Yeah, and I don't mean mentally either, babe. I'm talking about, you know, he's got pneumonia. And just for our listeners' edification and benefit, since this show is recorded on a Sunday. And a lot of the other stuff that Johnny and I do, of course, we record in the evenings or whatever, and we kind of do post-production. But Johnny has a case of walking pneumonia. So kudos, my brother, because I know you're really, really sick, and I know that I gave you the option to opt out, and you said absolutely, unequivocally no. So kudos, my brother.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
So how fast does your pneumonia walk?
It is at a very slow pace. You know, there is one advantage to having this type of little thing. I do kind of like the way it makes my voice sound. This would be something.
Yeah, you're just Mr. Mellow. You could be doing 60s jazz with that voice.
Yeah, this is a great FM voice. And now, welcome back to the ATS well, Mix.
It has a nice effect.
Well, actually, I think it might add a little bit to the show.
Oh, you guys are so fun.
Well, no, I mean, Bill said last week, he said, well, or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, when he didn't puss out. Well, yeah, I'll try to make the next show fun. I'm going,
What could be more fun than one of the hosts having walking pneumonia?
I love that. Walking pneumonia. Walking pneumonia. Sorry.
You're a trooper. You didn't wuss out like I did last week. I broke the cardinal rule of hangover avoidance last week.
We have to announce that we only have one reliable owner that we can guarantee is going to do a weekly show unless some catastrophe happens, and that's our friend Bill Urban.
It's like one reliable owner anyway. So.
Yeah. Oh, ouch.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, the Springinator, you know, he's never done anything reliable, Bill. I mean, really. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, every time he's, I'd love to do a weekly show. We do him this special bump or whatever, and then he sends an email today. Well, you know, Sundays are really not very good for me. Well, why'd you want to jump in? Anyway, so since we can't count on the spring.
This is your good friend, right, that you're talking about.
I love him. He is my best friend, but still, I got to call him like I see him. He's a, you know, he pushed out, and now we're only going to bring him in on special occasions to where, right. if the house gets attacked by Indians and stuff or something like that. Yes. All right, Bill. Well, I know you have a lot to talk about, and as the numbers indicate by the number of views of the shows, you know, everybody would rather listen to you than the Springer anyway. So,
yeah, I think that's the case.
It is very much the case. So what is
before I get into the before I get into some of the threads, just an update okay. for some of our members.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to tell them about what's going on with the site?
Well, yeah, I guess the server upgrade.
Oh, man. Yes. I'm not kidding you. And I know you're going to tell them all the specs, and they're going to go, who gives a Bill? Sorry.
Well, the pages.
Sorry. Did you just say?
I know. I broke my cardinal rule. Who gives a rat's buttocks, Bill? But honestly, I have to say this. It is hugely more fast than it has been ever in my knowledge.
Yeah, that was what a great collection of words you used there. Hugely more fast than ever.
and I thought I was the one that was sick.
Well, I couldn't figure a right good adjective. Anyway, tell about this.
Good. Yeah, we launched a new database server yesterday. Finally cut over. We actually put it online about 10 days ago, and we're testing with it and getting it ready. And for those keeping track, I don't remember if we talked about the specs. I think we talked about the specs of the server we wanted, but we ended up with a monster machine with 16 CPUs.
Oh, yeah.
That's four quad-core Intel processors, fastest we can get, fastest RAM that we can get. Motherboard is just crazy clock speed. And then six 15,000 RPM hard drives working in unison for just a lightning fast response. So this is pretty much as good as we can get at this point without breaking down, and now going and creating our own rack in another data center somewhere and owning our own machines. So that's literally the next step for us.
Well, you know, Bill, for techno geeks like myself and some of our other members, what you just told us is like porn to us.
Yeah, I know. There's been a couple of threads or a couple of comments in Cosmic like that. It was, Jesus, that's just it's a lot of horsepower. And for those who for Dave,
thank you.
The terminology would be where Friday the pages were loading, and today they're loading that'll help Dave understand the difference.
I love those analogies. And really, it's the difference between dial-up and cable, for those of you, or dial-up and even DSL.
Yeah, it's much better response time. So anyway, getting on to in the past week, some of the popular threads that our members have posted. And we're looking at the threads that garner the most replies. If you subscribe to our newsletter that goes out every 3 or 4 days, you'll have a better look at the most popular things happening, especially as our members flag them. But what we discuss here in the overview are the threads that get the most replies. And the number one is posted by Ivan Zanna, who has given us a lot of nice threads in the past. This was posted on April 7th. 285 replies titled WT7 Serious Proof of Controlled Demolitions. And he begins, "No one has been able to prove that World Trade Center 7 came down with anything but controlled demolitions. How does a 47-story building collapse without destroying buildings feet away? No doubt it was. World Trade Center 7 was brought down by controlled demolitions." And he goes on to get into it, and it's another good thread. I mean, it seems like that particular topic, World Trade Center 7, just will not go away in the spectrum of 9/11 conspiracy theories. A lot of, as the thread goes on, obviously in nearly 300 replies, a lot of really excellent contributions that sort of updates this notion of the issues surrounding the conspiracies of 9/11. The next most popular thread was something in the news. It wasn't discussed just in ATS, but a lot of other websites caught this bit of news, even Dig, and I think this was even on Slashdot is how popular this became. It's the author is, I'm just going to read his the letters in his name. I guess you would pronounce it Ergoli.
That's what I do. I just read the letters.
Yeah, it's Ergoli. 198 replies, and it's titled Israel Threatens Iran with Destruction. And he begins, an Israeli minister has threatened Iran with destroying the country if the Islamic Republic launches an attack on the regime. And another really popular thread this past week, getting into a lot of the most current stuff going on with Iran and the possibility of war between the U.S. and Iran, triggered by something happening in Israel. Excellent thread to keep you up to date on the latest. In that particular, as I looked through the thread, it really became clear that a lot of people were pulling content from all over the place. So it really is a great one-stop primer.
Right.
And all the current stuff happening there. And something that we just posted a couple days ago, April 12th, something that just exploded across the internet in popularity. The thread author, PaleHorse23, and the thread is titled, Texas School Suspends Student for Answering a Call in Class from His Dad in Iraq. And I guess his father was calling him on his cell phone, not really sure of the time. Kid happened to have his cell phone with him in school. He answered it and talked to his father, and he got suspended. Apparently the rationale being that cell phones are not allowed in school. So that raised quite a lot of ire in our members and really good discussions surrounded that. The next, our fourth most popular with 181 replies by Andy1033. What is the biggest truth you personally have found in life? And it's a very transcendental thread with a lot of excellent responses.
A very interesting thread it was.
Yes.
Or is.
And continues to be. Yeah. Still getting responses. That was posted on April 7th. And it's still.
Give me an example, Bill, of what some people posted.
You know, I knew you were going to do that. The one thread
that you didn't research was that one, right?
That I didn't pull aside.
I tell you what. Here's a good part. Give me an example from your own perspective, Bill.
From my own perspective.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? You just stated the question. Now respond to it. What would the skeptic overlord say?
Welcome to Dave Rabbit's Truth or Dare.
I think there's one thing that really has been something I discovered that's been a good guide. As I encounter other people, is don't trust anyone who doesn't like dogs.
Now, why do you say? Are you saying that as being funny? Are you saying that
it's
a filler or what?
No,
is that how you really feel?
Yes, and to some degree, I'm such a huge dog lover, and as I encounter people, you know, for some reason, I don't know if it's just me or the people I encounter or the way. We interact with each other. Generally, it works out that the people I've either worked with or encountered in life that don't like dogs. I'm not talking about people that are afraid of dogs. People that just say, I don't like dogs.
Right.
We just don't get along. And that's that's really is a basic thing that I come back to quite often. And it sounds like it's meant to be funny, but really it tends to be true more often than you'd think.
Johnny?
Well, on his thought there, I'd like to just add that I just found out that a former boss of mine who I went over to go visit the other day is a dog lover, and I saw the way he talked to his dog, and people have a tendency to talk to their animals differently than they talk to humans, you know, like, who's a lucky guy? Who's a lucky guy? You know, they have, I don't know if they call that baby talk or whatever, but, you know, they talk to animals differently than they talk to humans. Well, I ended up looking at my former boss in a whole different light, and because this guy, my apologies to everybody, but he is a hard ass. I mean, hard ass to the get-go. But you see him, and I got to see a different side of him that I would have never thought existed in him because of the way I saw him treat his dog and in a very loving way. And so, yeah, I guess I would kind of agree with what Bill said.
Okay, mine is don't eat yellow snow. All right, what else you got, Bill?
Well, that has to do with dogs as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Could be, yes.
The next thread with 180 replies by Deadline 527, can you sin while lucidly dreaming?
That was a thread that drew my attention, and I am very knowledgeable of that one. Go ahead with it.
Well, why don't you help us?
All right, I will.
Knowledge on this thread.
Okay, I will, because now I want to give you Dave's philosophy on this particular thing, okay? I think there's a huge difference between, and I want to make this emphatically clear, I think there's a huge difference between going out and committing a known sin when you're awake, okay? But people's subconscious, I don't think you can, even if you dream something illicit or something immoral or whatever, I don't think that should be considered a sin. Now, Bill, you know, you're an atheist. I'm an agnostic. Johnny's an ex-minister, so, I mean, we have a pretty good we've covered all the bases
potpourri.
With just three. Yeah, potpourri of beliefs or non-beliefs. But, I mean, you know, those that believe in sins and all the other stuff, I understand, you know, everybody saying, well, you know, you're accountable for your actions as a human being on a day-to-day basis. I'm totally on board with that philosophy for those that believe that. But to sit there and say someone is accountable for their actions in dreams, I think, is a crock. I think that's asinine. How can you possibly condone someone for what they dreamt? You know, it reminds me of the old joke when the guy goes up to the police when he says, what would you think, what would you do if I called you an SOB? And the cop says, I'd throw your butt in jail. He says, what would you do if I thought you were SOB? He says, well, I can't control your dreams. And the guy says, I think you're an SOB. Anyway, anyway, so the concept is I think, you know, my position, the thing is, if you dream it, it's not a sin. What's your take, Bill?
Well, if it's just a plain dream, no. But the concept behind lucid dreaming is that you have control, is that you've taken control over the direction of your dream.
How the hell do you do that if you're asleep?
I don't know. But that's some people claim they're able to do that.
And how the hell do you do that?
Well, I read there's a lot.
I've read it. I'm asking the skeptic overlord. How do you control your dreams if you're dreaming?
I don't know.
Have you done it? Are you capable of doing it?
I can barely remember the dream after I just wake up from the dream.
There aren't like training DVDs on how to do that, really.
That's my problem too, Bill. You hit the nail on the head. In fact, you know, it makes me really angry. Speaking of those of us non-believers and agnostics that have these little racy little dreams about some, you know, hot little number or whatever, you know, it, I always wake up to have to go to the bathroom in the morning. And I always try to get back to that one spot in the dream that was really cool, and I never can do it. It just drives me crazy.
Well, I've got a worse problem. In my dreams, I come across situations where certain scenarios open up to me to where I could be able to participate in some what some would consider to be a sinful way, and I can't.
Because you wake up?
No, in my dream, I can't. And it ticks me off in my dream because I know in my dream, this is the one place where I could get away with it. And I can't even in my dreams.
But do you think
and I wake up frustrated.
Yeah, but do you think that's because of your religious training and your
well,
being
damn
a minister?
Straight.
So in other words, you believe that your beliefs are in your dreams and it's preventing you from committing mortal sin.
Absolutely. And I'm ticked
wow.
off about it.
God, that's deep, John. Christ.
It's messing with me big time.
Bill, did you ever think of that? I mean, you're an atheist. Did you ever think of that?
I'm sure that's a huge deal. Yeah, I'm an atheist after a long stint with growing up in a religious environment, and yeah, that messes with your head. It really can. Of course, I did have some pretty vivid dreams. So I think Johnny is just. He needs some professional help. Maybe a whole team. People working around the clock.
And there are many that agree with you there, sir.
Yeah, he's right behind Dave in that long line. And Springer's up there in front. Okay, what else you got, boy?
Well, rounding off the top topics, and then we'll get to some questions from the members.
I know you love that part of the show.
Yeah. The reason this one caught my attention is because I like the name of the thread author. Battlestar Galactica.
Creative. Real creative.
He started this thread on the 6th, and it has 160 replies. John Teeter prediction 2008 Olympics in China canceled comes
yeah.
true. And it is rather interesting. He begins the thread, John Teeter prediction 2008 Olympics called off in China comes true. John Teeter made a prediction in 2000 that the 2008 Olympics would be called off. Actually, stating that no Olympics were to be held past the year 2004. Question, how would people's perception of the Teeter story change if the 2008 Olympics in China were indeed canceled? Of course, keeping in mind that the 2006 Winter Olympics were actually, in fact, held successfully. There's that little small factor there. But again, what this shows is that the Teeter phenomenon just simply will not die. Even as it becomes more and more clear that it was just a very creative hoax, the phenomenon simply does not die.
Wow. All right, well, now we're going to move on to your favorite part of the show. And for those members that would like to ask the Skeptic Overlord a question that he will answer on his weekly show, you can go to the ATS Mix area, to the information area, and you'll find Ask Skeptic Overlord, a thread there. And we ask him questions on every show, if time allows. And we are up to page 3, Bill. My Lord, you're really knocking these things out.
Dun, dun, dun.
Whack out of the park.
All right, well, we're going to start
Somebody
with...
Somebody doesn't work on this.
Yeah. We're gonna, and by the way, your members' names, you know, sometimes we have a problem with that. But this is member X-A-B-O-R-A, I guess, Zabora, maybe. Okay, he says he's going to deviate from the norm, Bill. Do you have any plans talking about how you got started on ATS or how the idea came about with the other two amigos? Obviously, he doesn't know about our fabulous interview where we did the history of ATS, this on the podcast area and also in the ATS Big Show area.
I think you just answered the question.
No, I know, but I mean, you know, do you have any plans to do other than our little thing that we did over a year ago, 18 months or so?
Currently, no, but there might be something else that creeps in from time to time. I think if we take this little party to a on-air live radio show, I think, you know, maybe it'd be fun to do a whole week covering the history of ATS in separate segments.
Oh, yeah, it would be cool. All right, we'll have to tell our producer that if he ever shows up. And then, of course, the ATS, he also has another question. He says, ATS Best of the Month and a monthly magazine for newsstand sales with written articles and whatnot. Would that increase our publicity of some things if you did something like that in the written media?
It would certainly decrease our ability to make money, which is what's needed to
right.
push all the other things forward. Magazines are a very tough thing to do. In any way that can even break even, much less turn a profit.
Right. Print is dead.
It's dying. It's not necessarily dead. There's some areas of print, like books, that are doing incredibly well. But newspapers and magazines are suffering. And, you know, of course, conventional logic might tell you that, wow, a newspaper or magazine is birthed out of something like ATS and the user crowd and all the incredible intelligence created by our members, that certainly could be something that has better potential to be successful than the output of just three or four writers and an editorial staff. But currently, no, there's no plans.
All right.
This is a member by the name of Light Unseen, and this member asked this question. Have you been thinking to advertise ATS on public radio or maybe even TV commercials? And have you ever thought about putting up a meeting place where all ATS members could come to talk, drink, and eat and stuff? Meaning, of course, if enough members would show up. I guess he wants his own Playboy Club version of the ATS. Yeah, right.
An ATS theme restaurant.
An ATS bunny. Yep, we have bunny rabbits.
That's a novel idea, yeah.
I love that.
Who knows what could happen in the future? We have done some radio advertising, a little bit of print advertising. As we expand, especially like what we just talked about, if this party turns into a radio show, which we think it will, we're definitely going to be involved in advertising that far and wide. We are indeed talking about other things other than just the book. And, of course, there would be some advertising involved in those. And but one of the things is... on the in the planning processes would be local user groups. I think we talked about this on the show once before, where in different regions throughout the world, but probably primarily first in the United States, or ATS members could get together and their little user group could focus on particular topics that everyone really likes, and each user group would have their own forum to report on what they're doing. So that's something in the planning stages. So, yeah, there would be a way for people to get together. And then I think that would make it easier for the NSA to monitor everyone. So
I love those guys. You know, they're always courteous, and they always pick up the check. Okay, China Bean has a question. It says, what happened to rats? And was there some topic thread that was really, like, exciting, I guess, but we were all kept in the – it is like a secret thing that really interested to you? Does that make sense? No, it didn't make sense to me either.
Nothing happened to rats. I mean, the really
rats above still there, is it not? But don't you have to have a certain amount of points to participate?
Yeah, you just have to, go to the store and buy access with points. And the whole reason is that, it's an environment that is only for ATS members and protected from search engine spiders finding and indexing the thread titles and the content. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah, and basically, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of the moderators have referred people to that area that want to talk about specific things that not necessarily are great in the general forum area. Is that right?
Correct. And I've waxed poetic on a few things that piss me off that maybe I wouldn't want to be seen in search engines in really above top secret as well.
All right, a couple of more. John, go ahead.
Well, actually, I think we probably only have time for about one more here.
Let's do two.
Benevolent Tyrant.
You're not going to do Coven?
Well, actually, Coven isn't really a question.
Sorry, I just read it. Sorry. I'll have to do a skeptic ignored
on
that.
Yeah, you need to do a little scanning here.
I need to read, yeah. Well, it was yours, so I didn't...
Benevolent Tyrant says this. I'd like to start my question to Skeptic Overlord by mentioning that Dave and Johnny have done an amazing job with ATS Mix. They've done some excellent interviews with some really great guests in the past with the likes of Nick Pope and Graham Hancock. Now to Skeptic Overlord. Since you do have Johnny and Dave right there beside you, who would you like to hear Johnny and Dave interview?
Who would I, dead or alive? Is it the,
are you talking about the band?
Dead or, right.
The Who. I love it, John.
I would go with someone we've seen with interviews from someone we've seen discussed on the site recently. I'd like to see some time, and not just an interview, but some real time, maybe even more than one episode spent with Jesse Ventura.
I would love to interview Jesse.
That'd be
Ventura.
Interesting.
He clearly seems to be one of us, and whether he knows about us or not, he should know about us. And I just like the way he thinks, from what I've seen so far in the interviews that came out this week.
Wow. Okay. Last one. Black Violet. If you could sit and have a conversation, Bill, with anyone in the world, who would it be and why?
Anyone.
Yeah, if you could pick a politician, religious person, non-religious person, whoever, one person, if you could pick one person, who would it be and why would you want to sit and have a conversation with that person?
I'm drawing a blank here. I can't.
Was there ever anybody that you ever wanted to meet, Bill, that you would just kill to meet? I know that there are, you know, people that I would just die to meet one time.
Why don't we include dead people with that also?
Yeah, of course.
People that are no longer alive.
Yeah, dead or alive.
Well, that's not fair because that's not the question.
Okay. Johnny, stay out of this, will you, Bill?
Sorry. I was just trying to make it easier for him.
I know, but don't. Look, you got to be. It's got to be alive. It's got to be alive.
I think, you know, an answer to a question like this needs to be relevant to ATS, because I think really there is, this wouldn't necessarily be the number one person who I'd want to meet and have a conversation with. But I think this, you know, since becoming ATS, there's one 9/11 truth person or conspiracy person that has become really popular online. And but still, no one, most 9/11 truth people have indicated their real offline identity. And this is maybe the one remaining person of real high popularity who has not. And that's the person Killtown, who's been banned from ATS a couple times and is, you know, one of the purveyors of some of the most insane and way out there 9/11 conspiracy theories. And I'd just like a chance to sit down and have a drink and say, are you for real?
All right, John, quickly, anybody come to mind, dead or alive?
Yes, Dr. Hawkins.
You know, I was going to say
Stephen
that
Hawking. Yeah,
yes, I was going to say Stephen Hawking, but I thought it should be more relevant to ATS. But yeah, he's you know, in, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. This is mine, and then we're going to wrap. You'll never guess who it is, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Gandhi.
But he's dead.
You said dead or alive.
But no, you said no. We couldn't do dead.
But I know, but I allowed you to go to a dead guy. I'm going to a dead
Stephen
guy.
Stephen Hawking isn't dead.
Oh, he's not. The guy that goes, isn't that,
he doesn't
that guy?
Do that.
Well, who was the guy that talked through his throat that died? The scientist guy, wasn't it Hawking?
Doesn't talk through his throat. He talks through a keyboard.
Okay, but that he's not dead.
He's not dead. No.
All right. Who was the guy that the movie Contact?
Let's
was
make
dead
this shorter, to? Dave. Why don't you choose a guy that's alive rather than somebody's dead rather than.
All right. Okay. Well, damn. Okay.
What do you think about Carl Sagan?
Thank you, Bill.
But okay. He didn't talk to a talk box.
No, he didn't. I don't know where Dave. Dave's kidding. Sorry.
Okay. Oh God, the pressure. I we'll see. Okay, the pressure. But the pressure's on. Okay. One person I can meet. I know you're gonna think this is weird, but I just want to see if he's as goofy.
Why
in
should
person.
We change our mind now?
Okay, Tony Blair. I just want to see if he's as goofy in person as he seems to be, you know, in his pictures. Sorry, I'm going to catch all kinds of UTUs from the United
was
Kingdom.
Was the dead air from Bill and I that apparent? Okay.
Sorry. All right, well, listen, we're running over, and I'm going to get my buttocks in a jam with my partner. So if you would like to ask a question for the Skeptic Overlord, go to the ATS Mix Area information and find the topic that says Ask Skeptic Overlord. Post your question, and it shall be answered. So until next week, Bill, we really appreciate the time.
All right. Next week. Have fun.
All right. Talk to you.
Hey Bill, was this time any more fun than last time?
It's hard to tell. I'll probably have to listen to it.
He's going to reserve judgment.
Yeah. I'm not really certain I had fun yet, so.
He's going to reserve judgment.
It might creep up on you, buddy.
Yeah, maybe once I have some bourbon, I'll think, you know what, that was fun.
Say goodbye, Bill.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
ATS Mix featured interview.
Well, as I am as excited as probably the rest of our members, it's time for part two of our Richard Dolan interview. When we went to break on our last interview, which, by the way, if you want to listen to part one, make sure that you go to episode number 70, what is it, 75?
75, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this part two is going to begin with Richard giving his thoughts on the 9/11 incident. So let's continue on with part two of the Richard Dolan interview.
Before we go into the 9/11, Rich, which is I'm dying to get your take on the thing, I have to ask you one question. On the AboveTopSecret.com site from one of our favorite friends and posters, Mr. Whoopi, don't ask me how they get these names. His is really not a question, Rich, but he says, I saw you at the Ozark UFO conference last April.
Oh, okay.
And thought you were one of the absolute best speakers on the panel. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Are you going to make it to the Ozark conference this year?
Well, if they ask me to speak, but I don't believe that I've been asked to speak this year, so I guess the answer would be no. I had a wonderful time at the Ozark conference. That's run by Lou Farish, who I think is a heck of a great guy.
Right.
I loved being out there. It's a beautiful country, and the speakers and the attendees are just top rate, in fact.
Right.
Now would be a good time, Richard. Do you have anything coming up, any events or anything that you'd like to plug real quick?
I do. I've got a variety, and I actually don't always keep very good track of them. Fortunately, my wife does. I have I've been invited to speak in Roswell for the next July thing that they've got going on there. And there's something else.
Are you happening to go? Going to be at the Bay Area UFO Expo?
Oh yeah, Bay Area, right?
Yeah,
I'll be there.
Johnny Nile. That's the one that we attend and do.
Oh, I'll get to meet you then.
Yeah, on site. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I spoke once at Bay Area a number of years ago. I've done, like last year in 07, I had decided at the beginning of the year that I wasn't going to do any public speaking. I just wanted to get this stupid book done. There's just been this weight around my neck.
Right.
And then I ended up doing like 12 or something like that. Number. It was like every month. People would ask me to go here or go there. And I, having no spine, I forgot to tell you about that, I just said yes. So people asked me, and I'm like, all right, I'll go.
All right.
Pay for my airfare, get me there, I'll do it.
Sure. All right. Well, I'm gonna get us into 9/11 because Johnny and I really have become a big fan of 9/11.
We all love 9/11. Gee,
well, I'm serious about that because we had the luxury and honor to interview William Rodriguez, the last man out of the towers.
I see.
And we did an hour and a half interview with Willie, who has become a friend of ours.
Does he believe it was an inside job also? He
alludes to that. He doesn't have anything concrete proof, but he heard explosions underneath him.
Right.
You know, and he's like on the first level of a 9-level basement scenario. You know, he went through the thing in 95.
Explosions below him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he alludes to it, you know. But this guy is really a class act. And, I mean, boy, cool. Johnny and I, when we heard some of his stories, were just, you know, literally in tears.
An emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, we had to almost stop because it was just hearing people speak and whatever. So I know this is a hot topic for you. So here's my question. And I know this is a difficult question, but, you know, do the best you can. Can you break down a possible couple of different scenarios that you've heard so that maybe our listeners at AboveTopSecret.com may have a better understanding of the absolute magnitude of all the theories that exist?
Yeah, all right. Well, my attitude, my approach to 9/11 is not very different from my approach to UFOs. And if there's a single 9/11 author that I feel most congenial with, I would have to say it's David Ray Griffin. I like Griffin because, at least in what I've heard him say and what I've read, he does not pretend to have every single answer involved in how 9/11 went down. I mean, look, neither do I, because you know what? I wasn't involved in the planning, and I wasn't part of it, and there's certain things I can't know. Having said that, I think, you know, you do one step at a time with 9/11. The first most important thing that we need to do as a society is recognize that the official version of events is total bullshit.
Right.
And until people get that, everything else is secondary. So, like, was there a plane or no plane that hit the Pentagon? Well, you know, I've gone back and forth on that myself a number of times over the years. But ultimately, it's a secondary problem, okay? The primary problem is in trying to square what George Bush and his buddies have said about 9/11 with the facts, and you can't. That's not possible to do that.
Right.
The way that look, think of it this way. My dad, by the way, worked at the Trade Center.
Oh, is that right?
For years.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. My dad was a retired New York City cop who, for 7 years, was a fire safety director at the World Trade Center complex. For 7 years, I had detailed discussions with my father about the evacuation and fire safety hazards of the Trade Center. Just so happens, he had the day off that day.
Oh, well, thank God for that.
He shared his job with a very nice man that I knew who was killed that day. So So my dad basically got lucky, but I mean, it was a rough thing for him. It was rough for everybody.
For everybody. Yeah.
But the thing is, regarding 9/11, there are too many problems that have just not been addressed by any official powers that be. Look, you mentioned the Trade Center collapse. Well, look, we all know, everyone in the world who saw those towers collapse, everyone, there's not a single exception to this rule. In the back of their mind, they're thinking, wow, that looks like a controlled demolition.
Right.
Because it did.
Right.
You had numerous TV guys saying exactly that.
Yep.
It looks like it was brought down. Okay, so could it have been or not? Well, you know, the things that I'm about to tell you two, I'm sure you've run through this many, many times. I'm sure the listeners of ATS are very familiar with these arguments, too.
Right.
But there are always people who don't know. And let's just review a couple of key things. A is that in the history of steel frame architecture, it had never happened that a fire had caused a total collapse of a steel frame
right,
building.
Right, exactly.
Never. Okay. Conversely, in all cases of total collapse of steel frame structures, it had always been due to a controlled demolition.
Okay.
Every single time. So if you're a detached crime scene investigator, and you're now at the scene, okay, if you were actually detached, would it not be logical that your first question would be to ask whether this was brought down in a similar fashion?
Right.
Since all cases, and yet this was never asked by, I mean, because it was off limits. Even in the case of Building 7, which was itself a large building, 47 stories tall, came down 7 hours later, no plane hit that building, and that still came down. The other factor about the collapse of those buildings, it has to be noted, is that they fell at virtual free fall speed. Virtual. So if you had dropped a brick at the roof of any of those structures at the moment of collapse, that brick would have landed at nearly the same time as the roof.
Okay.
Within, like, the towers, the two tall towers collapsed in, I think, about 10 seconds flat.
Right,
like
right.
A brick free fall speed would have landed in, I believe, 9.1 seconds. So nearly the same time. So here's the deal. All right, the collapse begins at approximately the 80th floor for one of the towers. So you've got now the official version of the events has what was called pancaking, so that the cumulative weight continues to go on top of the bottom floors and becomes this heavy, heavy thing. All right, well, that's cool, except for one thing. How much resistance can one realistically, reasonably expect steel, reinforced steel floors to offer to a collapse?
Right.
Zero resistance or some resistance? Now, I'm not a physicist, but look, let's use some common sense because I think we can trust our brain on this one. You got 80 floors to collapse. Could you expect as much as 1 second of resistance per floor? Well, if you did, it doesn't seem like a lot to me, but let's say if you had 1 second per floor, that's 80 seconds. That's almost a minute and a half, and obviously
right.
It didn't take that long. 1/10 of a second per floor gives you still an additional 8 seconds. 9 plus 8 gives you 17 seconds, and the towers didn't even take that long to collapse. I mean, in other words, guys, those towers, the steel frame of those towers gave as much resistance to the collapse of those structures as the air that you're breathing right now.
Hmm.
And that is not credible.
Right.
It's not credible. And yet what happened is that the U.S. media and the U.S. scientific community, too, because you know what? Scientists are still human beings, and they're still political creatures, and they still have to think about their careers, too. So let's just remember that, you know, when we talk about this myth of that this whole concept of objective science is something of a myth. Scientists have to work within institutional structures and systems, and people learn to keep their mouths shut. Look at the example of Soviet science back in the 1940s. Okay, just because you're a scientist and you have a PhD doesn't mean that you're going to speak up and buck the system. And after 9/11, there was a tremendous amount of pressure exerted over all sectors of our society to just shut up and do as you're told. So in other words, the collapse of the towers is totally consistent. The speed at which they collapse and everything about that, totally consistent with what you get in a controlled demolition. So to me, that is the logical assumption one needs to make about what happened in New York City. You look at the Pentagon, and of course, as most of you know regarding New York City, there was not any kind of public or adequate forensic analysis done of the steel surrounding, of all those buildings, so that they were basically taken out and shipped out as scrap metal to other nations, China and India, I believe. So they're really, you know, the analysis, the investigation of this is all shunted aside. The attack on D.C. Has similar, possibly even greater problems. When I look at this official scenario, I find it absolutely not believable. I mean, consider that your name is Hani Hanjour, and you're the terrorist aboard that Flight 77. So now, you know, you're going at 500 miles an hour, and you're over Ohio now, and this is when you decide to make your move. So you take your box cutter knife, you fight your way back to the cockpit, you open the door, and you got two pilots in there, one of whom was a former F-4 fighter jock, tough-looking guy. I saw a picture of him. I'm sure he'd have kicked my butt, much less this little guy. Hani Hanjour was a little guy. He somehow takes them both out. No one presses an emergency button, which was there and which would be standard. Somehow he gets them out. Somehow he has the presence of mind to turn off the plane transponder code. So now the plane goes off radar in Ohio. Now, this guy, a month before, had flunked a test to fly a little two-seater Cessna. Couldn't do it. You know, the whole way to pass that is you fly it around a field, and he flunked it. And his flight instructor later described him as like an idiot. So here's this guy, and he's got the controls of this Boeing 757 all in front of him, and so now he's got to turn this sucker around.
Right.
And he's got to get it. Now, how do you do that? There's two ways you can do it. You can either program the aircraft, which even the official version of events acknowledges he could not have done. So they're all saying he did it manually. And I'm thinking, really? You're at 30,000 feet. You're above the clouds. You're going 500 miles an hour the wrong way. You got to turn this thing around. How do you really do that?
Right.
By taking some flight sim programs on your computer? Give me a break, man.
Right.
That is the stupidest idea I've ever heard. So how do you navigate?
Right.
Something simple as that. You're above the clouds. I fly. I can't see where the hell I'm going when I'm over the clouds. How can you know?
Yeah.
If you're off by the tiniest bit, you're
right.
going to miss your target by many miles.
Sure.
I'm supposed to believe this guy did this. Well, let us remember, there is no radar evidence that that plane ever turned around. Okay? It is inferred that that plane turned around. So let's say it did. So then Allah is his co-pilot, and so he does everything perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, right? So he comes into D.C. now. All right? Not only does he turn his transponder back on, by the way, just so happens. Why the hell did he do that? Who
right.
knows? So air traffic controllers now, they're monitoring this, and they see the blip, and they see this maneuver that he now executes to hit the Pentagon. This maneuver is so ass-kicking, so perfect, so everything, that the air traffic controllers said, oh, thank God, one of our jet fighters is finally in the area. Where the hell have they been? Over at Andrews Air Force Base, 5 miles away, sitting on the ground, is where they've been.
Hmm.
Okay, which they still were. This is more than a half hour after New York City's been attacked. Why are these fighter squadrons sitting on the ground at Andrews? Anyway, so this object, let's assume it's the plane, right? Coming in, and instead of doing the easy thing, which is hit the Pentagon straight on, get the evil Donald Rumsfeld and all those guys, no, Hani Hanjour does something that's very polite. Thanks, Hani. He does a near 360 corkscrew spiral dive to go around the back end of the Pentagon and to hit the one part of the Pentagon where there's basically no Pentagon employees there.
Right.
And some construction guys. They get killed. The maneuver itself was so good. I mean, I have spoken to a number of professional pilots about this maneuver, and every single one of them has said, there's no way that I could have done that maneuver without hitting the ground beforehand. And as I also learned, I mean, he's coming in at 20 feet altitude.
Right.
And we know this because there were lampposts that were chopped off, sheared off at that height.
Right.
So he's coming in at this low level. That's a big aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
To make an aircraft fly level at that speed, I have read an analysis by a professional pilot that has said that is impossible to do for that kind of aircraft, that there's an effect known as wind sheeting, which forces the plane down. If you go at several hundred miles per hour level, you're going to hit the ground, unless you're pulling up.
Would ground effect be in that also? I mean,
well, not according to this analysis that I've read. I mean, maybe,
okay.
Look, I'm not an aviation expert,
right.
probably any more than you, but I'm not seeing very... I do know this, that the maneuver with that aircraft, one pilot said to me that that aircraft possibly could have done that maneuver, but he said, look, man, there's no way that guy did that. And there's no way that I could do that. And that guy has flown for like 30 years,
right.
747. He said, remotely commandeered, that could be an answer.
Right.
Okay, so that someone took over. Or he said, you know, realistically, that it probably wasn't that aircraft. That it was something else.
Hmm.
And when you factor in the likelihood that, again, when we know that there's no radar evidence that the plane did turn around, and that's
right.
a fact, it's all inference. Now, sure, you know, there are witnesses that said, oh, yeah, it looked like a 757. Well, you know, what the hell do they know? First of all, who are these people? I know from judging UFO evidence that you have to rank evidence in terms of how good it is. And witness testimony is never as good as photographic evidence and never as good as official, you know, as provable records and so forth. I mean, things
sure.
are ranked.
Right.
In the aftermath of that hit, we have photographs of these guys in black sunglasses and black jackets scarfing up material off the lawn
right.
so that it couldn't be analyzed. So we know there's some kind of operation involved. How hard would it be to trot some guy out and say, yeah, I was a witness?
Sure.
Really. That's a yeah. no-brainer. Now, that, I'm not saying that that's what happened, but one has to put that type of witness testimony in a different place than the objective information that we have. For example, when the explosion hit that Pentagon, when whatever it was hit the Pentagon, there were people stuck in traffic right outside, and they got out of their cars.
Right.
Some of these people had digital cameras. They took some high-res shots, which I have, and I'm sure you guys have.
Sure.
Right.
You can read them. And you got this, you know, what does it look like? Well, I see a lot of things there, but I don't see any sign of an aircraft.
Yeah.
I see a nice-looking lawn. I don't see any sign of gouging of the ground, which you typically get in an aircraft crash.
Right.
And you see what looks like a hole. Okay, well, where would the wings have gone?
Where are the wings?
Now, maybe it's a photographic effect. Maybe there's something that I'm not getting here. But here's what I'm saying. What it looks like, based on the evidence that I'm seeing, it looks like it is possible that it wasn't that aircraft that hit the Pentagon.
Right.
Now, what would have happened to Flight 77, I don't know. Could have been forced to land. Those people could have been killed. Who the hell knows?
Right.
Something happened to them that wasn't nice, I assume.
Right.
And there are people who they hear that type of alternate explanation, and they just dismiss it because that's just too gruesome. But whoever planned this is pretty gruesome to begin with.
You know, and I was just going to ask you that, Richard. I mean, we have all these different types of scenarios around this one event.
Right.
Is there possibly some nefarious organization that's backing this? And if so, what is their agenda for doing so, though?
Look, we don't just have a government. We don't have the government that people think they have, you know, that you get from your fifth grade civics class. I mean, it's a myth, all right? You vote for your congressperson, and they go to Washington, and we vote for this law, and there's checks and balances, all this crap. None of that applies. We don't live in that world.
Hey, you're preaching the choir, brother.
Right. So then, in other words, right, what is behind that structure of power?
Right.
Well, money is behind that structure of power, we know.
Of course.
And so within the Pentagon, I referred earlier in this interview to special access programs, SAPs. Well, there are many of these. They proliferate within the Department of Defense, and there are other programs that are similar to SAPs that go by different names. Like, for example, there's in the Navy, there were known as alternative compensatory control measures, ACCMs. They're deeply secret types of programs that have no oversight for all intents and purposes, and who knows how much money. Then you get your unacknowledged SAPs and the whole bit. Then you get even various striations within those different types of unacknowledged SAPs. The point is that there are a large number of groups within the United States that have basically a huge amount of money and no oversight, and who knows what kind of agendas they may have. That also applies to foreign intelligence, because after all, the U.S. intelligence community is not the only intelligence community in the game here, and there are reasons to be suspicious of the Pakistani intelligence agency, the ISI, and also the Israeli Mossad. One has to wonder about these. There are reasons to be suspicious, so that when we call 9/11 an inside job, that can mean a lot of different possibilities, and anyone who really thinks that they have it nailed down completely, I'm a little bit cautious about that. But I think that there are lots of players who could have wanted this. Now, why would they want this?
Right.
That's the easy part. That's the easy part. Because what has happened in our world over the last 50, 60 years has been very evident to see, is that we've had a kind of unacknowledged revolution in the structure of power on this planet, in the sense of, like within the U.S., we've seen the establishment of what I call the national security state coming up parallel to our official representative government, and we've now gotten to the point where that structure has essentially swallowed up the original structure. And yet there had been no change, no formal acknowledgement or change in the legal structure of this country to reflect that reality. This development has been going globally, not just within America, so that we are developing a kind of global police state.
Sure.
And I think that there are powers behind the scenes that have looked at this objectively and said, well, we need to make a few changes. America needs a new Pearl Harbor so that we can justify certain kinds of measures that we need to implement, basically implement a global police state where we microchip everyone. And also, I think absolutely there has to be a justification for certain groups to engage in these wars that are ruining
right.
the United States Treasury. I mean, they're absolutely bankrupting this nation. We're going to see that happen big time this year, but still enrich, grossly, incredibly enrich, certain other interests that have no incentive for ending these wars.
Sure.
So, but you need something dramatic like 9/11, and so it became necessary for them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's why.
I'm sure you've heard of the NAFTA highway and the supposed mm-hmm. new currency that is supposed to be a regional currency called the Amero, which is supposed to be
yes.
likened to the Euro. I have exactly. always kind of wondered and theorized if the reason why we're not only seeing the decline of the American dollar, but also the rise in what appears to be, and I'm going to use the term virtual terrorism, because I think that as a nation, they want us to remain in fear for some reason. And I've kind of wondered if the reason why the dollar has to keep going down is so that they could say, hey, because of all this and because of the possible terrorist attack, we're going to merge and we're going to have one regional yeah. currency and we're going to be a much bigger, better nation because we got Mexico and Canada and the United States.
Yeah. You're reading my mind, sir.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. This is really what I believe. Well, look, these crises that we're having are not, they don't just simply happen. The dot-com crash of 2000 and now the housing crash that we're seeing, these happen for a reason. Catherine Austin Fitz, a lady that I'm honored to have to get to chat with every now and then, I like and respect her very much, has talked very intelligently about the pump and dump financial machinations that go on that basically are market manipulations by wealthy elites. So that you create a bubble, you make your money, then you sell, and then you watch the bubble pop.
Hmm.
And this is what they do. Now, I'm not knowledgeable enough to know how to do it, so I don't do it. But there are people who have accounting geniuses working for them, and they know what to do. So they manipulate the market. And so there are people who are greatly benefiting from the collapse of the U.S. dollar right now. And yes, they're going to use it to justify the implementation, I'm sure, of a new currency. And everyone resists it now, but what's going to happen if your life savings becomes worthless?
Right.
Well, then you'll be willing to do it. Sure you will. I mean, this is like what happened to Germany after World War One, where you go to the store with a supermarket basket full of currency and to buy your stuff. And the dollar has been so badly ruined by the policies of the Bush administration. Honestly, I mean, this is beyond impeachment. This should be imprisonment. And the reason is, the U.S. economy was in a tenuous position already when Bush came into the White House. I mean, it wasn't like, yes, there had been a balanced budget for the last 4 years of Clinton. That's true, and that's good. But the fact is that U.S. economic fundamentals had been getting worse and worse through the 90s, really from Bush 1 right onward, where the entire manufacturing infrastructure has been exported.
Yeah.
It's gone, right? So our fundamentals are very weak now as opposed to earlier periods in our history. So with that, what does the president do but engage in two unbelievably expensive wars that we cannot afford? And instead of raising taxes to pay for it, which, of course, if he were to do that, those wars would have ended in 2005 at the latest, because people would say, screw this, I'm not paying for it. So what he did instead is simply crank out the currency. I spoke to one guy who fought in Afghanistan and said to me, you know how I got paid? In incremental notes. So this money had just been printed off. the money gets printed and printed and printed, and so it takes a little bit of time for those repercussions to hit the U.S. economy. Well, what has happened now, it's very obvious, is that all of these dollars floating around the world have become greatly devalued.
Right.
And so that the foreign entities that are holding the dollars, primarily China and Japan and other nations, they're starting to get a little nervous because they're holding all these dollars thinking, holy mackerel, you know, that my money is going to be not worth anything. So what they're trying to do now is sell off all their dollars.
Sure.
But they don't want to do it in such a way that they cause a panic or a run, because then everything plummets. So they're trying to very methodically get rid of their dollars so that they don't have liability. But the problem, of course, is that everyone in the world knows what's going on, and so it's causing the dollar to collapse. And I just read the other, like a week ago, that the Taj Mahal in India has just announced that they're no longer accepting the U.S. dollar. So there's one huge tourist place that won't take American currency.
Right.
And that's because it's just becoming worthless. So in that scenario, I mean, all of this is very easily attributable to policies that have been undertaken by the Bush administration. I can't give them 100% of the blame, but I can give them a lot.
You know, I recall hearing many years ago that, and I wish I could remember who it was that said this, but they said that the greatest magical illusion that was ever created in the United States was the American dollar that was worth more so than the paper it was actually printed on.
Well, okay, yeah, cool. The real decline of the American dollar, I mean, if you really want to get into the history, is the establishment of the Federal Reserve Board. It's not that hard to understand.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, cool. I love that response.
You know what, Richard? I got to tell you right now. I've got about 17 more questions that I wanted to ask you, but we have run over, and I don't want to have our editors chop any of this out, so I'm going to have to try to close this out. But I want to ask you, would you please come back again?
Sure, man. Of course.
That'd be great. And
we have to send money in advance again?
Have you enjoyed? Have I not disappointed?
You have not disappointed.
Have I been good enough?
You have been great.
I want the listeners at ATS to go, wow, that guy's pretty cool.
Yeah, but then...
please like me. Please.
Oh, they like you. They don't give a rat's buttocks about Johnny and I, but they like the hell out of you, you know.
Yeah, they don't like us, but they like our guest.
Oh, I'm sure they like it just fine.
We want to remind everybody one more time that Richard's website is located at www.keyholepublishing.com. And when can we possibly expect the conclusion of your next volume?
Oh, yes, I think this year. I'm actually confident in saying that finally this is going to be the year in which my next volume comes out. I cannot tell you how happy I am to say this. When I got into the UFO topic, as I mentioned in the first hour, I knew nothing. I was starting at ground zero, so to speak. When I finished that book, which took the story to 1973, I felt like I just ran a marathon and I collapsed on the field, but I had not really been studying any of the recent stuff at that point, so I had to get up to speed on all of that, and it's been a lot of work. So now I'm at the point where I really can say that I have quite a lot written for the 1970s and 80s, and I'm just going to wrap it up in 1991, and that'll be a 450 or 500-page book, and that'll be quite enough for a volume.
Can I ask one question
while
you're talking about your book? Are there going to be pictures?
There will be now.
Oh, there you go, Dave.
Yeah, the first book, the reason I had no pictures in the first book is really simple. I had never written a book before. I didn't know anybody. Getting permissions for images was just one more hassle. I really didn't want to go through that whole process. I just wanted to get the book done. I felt that on its own merits, it would be a good read anyway, which I feel that it is.
Well, you can just put family photos in the thing, you know?
What's that now? What?
Just put some family photos in there.
Yeah, sure. I got a picture. There's one of me on a L.A. beach.
Hey, that would be
cool.
A great one.
Look particularly ripped, but hey, it'll be good
because those of us that don't read will have something to look at and talk about, you know, over dinner. And those that do read won't give a rat's buttocks about it anyway, you know?
Well, here's the whole plan that I'm working on. I'm going to do this three-volume work. The last two volumes will have pictures, yes. And then, actually, my goal is to write a slim history of the whole period, maybe in 250 pages, something like that, with lots of pictures. Hey. So it'll be, I mean, people tell me they like my book, but it's also, it's a lot to read.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a demanding read. I think that I broke it down so that you can kind of just flip through it and profitably read it. But still, it's a long book, and so I think that there's a market and a reason for a short, kind of slim history of the whole thing.
Richard, I'm going to let you do a quick shout-out, as they say, for your wife. I understand she has an internet radio program.
Yes, she does. My wife's name is Karen Dolan, K-A-R-Y-N. And my wife is a very interesting lady. She, you know that she and I met many, many years ago while shopping in a supermarket.
That doesn't surprise me.
I asked her out in front of about, I don't know, 15 people at the checkout line. That was a nice moment. But, yeah, she's always been into strange stuff herself. She has an interest in the paranormal.
And well, she's married to the right
much
guy,
more than
huh?
I do. What's that?
Yeah, she married the right guy.
Right guy then, right?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear anything you just said.
That's
there.
Because it's, Johnny's talking. She's married to the right guy.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Well, we're a good team, I have to say. And she's, in the last year, been doing a radio show, which is just amazing. She'll be the first to tell you how shocking it is for her because she is by nature a very shy person.
Right.
But going to conferences with me, I mean, she's gotten to meet a lot of people in the UFO and paranormal study area. And one person just said, hey, you know, can I interview you on what it's like to be the wife of a guy who writes UFO books? And she had a very good experience doing the interview, and then it turned out that was a new radio, internet radio network, and they were just getting started, and he said, you know, can you guest host for me one time? And she said, yeah, you know, and she did that. And then this opportunity for her came up, and she took it, and she's been enjoying it ever since.
Well, give her best, would you?
Yeah.
She just was interviewed in the last two issues of UFO Magazine, so she got a real charge out of that. I thought it was very cool. She gave a great interview.
Cool.
Perfect.
Yeah, we'll put it up on the website at some point.
Well, great.
So,
well, we can't thank you enough, Richard, for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to Dave and I, and we really have appreciated all the wonderful things that you have done in the community, and we look forward to you continuing on in those pursuits.
Thanks very much, John. I appreciated talking with you and Dave. It was a very nice interview. How long did we go? Was it more than an hour?
Yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, what we're going to do is we're gonna put in a commercial for Family Guy and cut it down a little bit.
He's joking.
Really? He's joking. I'm kidding.
He's mad as hell, and here's why. Who's ready for a rant? ATS Mix presents The Rabbit's Rant. In other words, what the hell is ruffling Dave Rabbit's fur this time?
Relax and enjoy yourself.
This is The Rabbit's Rant.
And it is now, of course, time for us to poke our fingers in the hole, the rabbit hole, that is, to see what's on the rabbit's mind. What do you have to rant about today, Senior Rabbit?
Let me remove these fingers from my hole, and maybe I'll be able to talk intelligently today. Seriously, this is a pretty legitimate rant for me. And that is, I mean, here we are in April, and we're in, you know, just a minor sidebar. What's the weather like in California right now, John?
Very warm.
Like what's the temperature?
We're at 83 degrees.
Are you really? You want to know what's funny? It's right. 63 here in Dallas.
Wow.
Clear skies. I mean, it's almost like California weather. Right. It's crazy. I mean, the weather is absolutely nuts, but that's not my rant. Okay, here's my rant. We're coming up to where, you know, the beaches are going to start opening up and people are going to be around the swimming pool. And mainly, you know, of course, I live in Texas, so we have a condominium down in Padre Island. And we go down there. Well, I don't go down as much, but, you know, every time I've gone down there in the last couple of years, you know, people are really kind of letting their hair down, so to speak, with what they wear on the beach, you know. And I mean, unlike Black Beach in California, you know, to where it's a nudie beach, Texas doesn't allow that, but they do allow people to wear thongs on the Texas beaches. Now, here's my rant. You know, I don't have a bit of problem, John, with somebody like Angelina Jolie or, you know, Reese Witherspoon or
you know, some of the hotties, some of the young actress hotties. Yeah, you know, oh, Jessica Alba, God, I would walk around on all fours for her. But, I mean, you know, walking down the beach, I mean, with a very cute buttocks. I mean, very, very, very nice. And for the women in our audience, you know, a Brad Pitt, obviously, I'm sure none of you would bitch about either. But here's my problem, is people that have a single buttocks cheek that is the width of the normal human body, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that single buttocks is maybe about a foot and a half wide, and you put those two together and you have this huge buttocks. Now, what is the point, John, of these? And I'm not going to say fat, because we have some obese fans, but what is the point of people that are less than pleasant to look at wearing a thong swimsuit on a public beach? I saw something really scary last year. A guy and a gal, they weighed probably conservatively about 250 to 300 pounds each. Okay?
All right.
The lady had looked like she had, you know, had a huge beer gut hanging down over the front of her little, you know, the little area that covers the, you know, the patch area. And, of course, when they walk by, I mean, there's just this string, you know, down the middle of their butt cheeks. And the guy was about the same way. I mean, what are they thinking? I mean, when they look in the mirror, are they sitting there thinking they're hot? Because if they are, I want to find what school they went to. Because I cannot stand to see people that are 2-ton tessies on a public beach wearing a stupid thong. It should be, you know, the 19-year-old and up group, up to 20 or 25 or whatever, to where they still have all their plexus and whatever and look good. What's your opinion about it? I know you guys have nude beaches in California.
Well, I hadn't really...
I'm not saying you went there. I'm just saying I know Black Beach in San Diego, been there.
Right. Well, I really don't know how to respond to that. I think that if somebody feels comfortable wearing less, I don't know. I'm having flashbacks of the 80s. Remember when Lycra, that stretch Lycra, was real popular?
Oh, and the Lycra pants the girls used to wear?
Yeah. But here again, people that were slightly overweight that was wearing that was not very appealing to look at aesthetically. So I think if somebody feels comfortable enough of wearing next to nothing out in public, then we that do have a problem with it should just look somewhere else.
Well, it's awful hard when you got 3 feet of buttocks in your face, you know, walking down the beach, John. That's all I'm saying. I mean, all I'm saying is you know, be reasonable. I mean, my Lord.
Well, what would you have rather seen them wearing? Moo-moos?
You know, now you bring a very valid point to this rant. I don't think, you know, on the other hand, have you seen the fat women bathing suits that they wear, where they have that little dress-looking thing, and it's this right. one piece, and it's really loose-fitting to where they don't look fat.
Yep.
Now, I think that looks ridiculous, too, okay? So I guess if I had my druthers of seeing a naked buttocks in my face or seeing them in that moo-moo kind of thing, I got to go with the moo-moo, John. That's just me, you know? Maybe everybody likes watching, you know, whales walk down the beach with a string bikini.
And send those U2Us to
Johnny at ATSmix.com. All right, well, we had a pretty good show. I really enjoyed it. And I'm really so sorry, John, that you've had the walking pneumonia all week. But, you know, I mean, if it's any consolation, John, I'd like to sing you just one little song.
All right, sir.
And for those that know the song Waltzing Matilda from Australia, if you would please go, feel free to jump in anytime you want. Walking pneumonia, walking pneumonia, my Johnny has living walking pneumonia. Sorry. Anyway, hope everybody enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next time on the ATS Mix.
Just like to remind our friends that if you have something that you would like to ask Dave and Johnny about, we have a toll-free number for our U.S. and Canadian friends at 1-877-417-2204, and you can leave us a message on there, and we'll try to get back to it as soon as we can. I am Johnny Anonymous. We'll catch you next time on the ATS Mix.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. Thank you.